The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
What I'm finding through Street Smart Entrepreneurs is there's global interest in what we're doing.
Yeah.
For example, I'm developing a really good relationship with a talented young guy in Switzerland who's part of the Swiss MBA Association.
Okay.
They have something like 2,000 members. And that association is putting together relationships with major MBA schools around the world, developing joint training programs, events. And he's very interested in working with Street Smart Entrepreneurs as part of that growing association of MBA schools globally.
Yeah. Well, that's not only great for them, but it's great for us to learn from them and share ideas back and forth, because everyone does it a little different.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work. And they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview. On today's show, we bring back our good friend Jack Killian. This is our 100th episode. For those of you who already know, or if you're a new listener, Jack was our first guest back in February of 2019. We spent so much time on the mic that it ended up being a two-part episode. I highly recommend you go back and listen to his whole story that goes back decades and all the things that he experienced and all the lessons that you can learn from him, and also enjoy our discussion, catching up with Jack and what he's doing today. I just want to thank Jack for all his support and going on this journey with me. Thanks so much, Jack. All right, Jack. So we were just talking and I made you come on the microphone to talk to me on the podcast because you were telling me all the great stuff that's going on. But for the people that are listening, anybody follows the podcast or new to the podcast, you were my first guest. I didn't know what I was doing, what we were going to talk about. It became a two-part first episode. I always tell people to go back and listen. So people can listen to what you're doing now and all the things that are going on, but they should also go back. They'll learn a lot of lessons that you shared through your 40, 50 some odd years in business and all the different things you did. But since we talked, a lot has happened. So you had a book, Network All the Time, that was available. You were working on a second book, which I'm not even sure has come out yet. You'll catch me up on that. Plus, you started Street Smart Entrepreneurs, which I'm flattered that you asked me to be involved. And you can catch me up on all that stuff. So what, first of all, did the second book come out?
Not yet. I'm 98% finished with it.
Okay.
The working title has Been There, Done That.
Okay.
And the theme of the book is I go back and I trace my life in the different major categories.
Okay.
You know, education, growing up family, my various jobs, various companies I've been involved in. And I try to distill in each chapter the lessons that I think other business leaders should really pay attention to.
Okay,
and,
great.
You know, I've done so many different interesting things.
Yeah.
That I've had an opportunity to learn a lot of different lessons that I think apply generally.
Right. And that was the goal of the book.
And then
okay,
the,
good.
The third I'm book excited. That's in my head.
Okay.
The working title of that is Stirring the Pot.
Okay. That's a good working title.
Because I think
title.
You absolutely have to constantly be stirring the pot.
Yeah, well, you and I are always talking. You always have ideas going on. And I wouldn't call it reinventing yourself, but everything's a progression, right? So you move, you grow here, and then you start another project. You've always been big on education and entrepreneurial education. We'll talk about Street Smart. Right. But you also became a grandpa since we
right.
first got on the microphone. Right. We were on the microphone February of 2019. So it's been almost 2 years, more than 2 years, coming up on 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It went fast. So that'll be my, that's my, so that's why 100th episode was good. It's almost my 2 year anniversary for the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing how time flies, huh? And you've done a great job with your program.
Yeah. It's all, you know, still coming together. We're talking to met some really interesting people, told some interesting stories and shared a lot of valuable, you know, experiences that people have, but maybe you want to spend most of our time talking about Street Smart and what you're doing there. In the space?
Sure.
All right.
Whatever. Well, but I'm sure I can also suggest some really excellent people to be guests on future podcasts.
Yeah, I'd love to.
People from around the world.
Absolutely.
That are doing amazing things.
Yeah, I want some really amazing guests. We'll definitely talk off mic about that. You'll connect me. But why don't we go back? Where did the idea for Street Smart Entrepreneurs come from? What were you thinking about? And then what's your goal with the whole thing?
I'm not sure where the original, you know, the very initial idea came from, but I started to think about it when COVID-19 started to be really bad.
Right. So last spring.
And whenever there's, something really going on, that's going to change things fundamentally.
Right. Good or bad,
I think
right?
That's what COVID, good or bad.
Yeah.
And when something major goes on, I think it both creates good things and bad things. Well, we're already aware of the horrible things that COVID has created.
Right.
But in terms of good things, when I started asking myself, what are the good things that are going to come out of the COVID pandemic? I said to myself, I think our healthcare system is going to improve.
Yeah.
I think our educational system is going to improve.
I hope. Yeah. We're learning to do things differently.
Right. I think people's work-life balance is going to improve because
yep.
people are now learning that they don't have to sit on a bus
yeah.
for 4 hours a day to get into a city.
Right.
And I think corporate America is going to get more competitive. It's going to get leaner.
Yeah.
It's going to get more flexible because these companies are not going to require all the overhead that they've been carrying.
Yeah. And there's going to be negative ramifications to that and positive ramifications to that. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, with everybody losing their jobs and people's work-life balance changing, entrepreneurship is really going to be driven worldwide.
Yeah, well, they
people
said that
are going to be forced in.
And they said business formations have really skyrocketed. Everybody's looking to do something, you know?
Yeah, but they can't go backwards, either
right.
because those opportunities are closed, or they don't want to go backwards.
Right.
They've learned to be more self-sufficient, more flexible. It's much more cost-effective to start a lean startup venture.
Yeah.
So I think entrepreneurship worldwide is going to thrive.
Right.
And I want to be part of that, and I want to help make that happen. So the idea really started around March or April. I formed the company, I think, in late May. So we're about 6 months into it. And, you know, I'm a big proponent on stirring the pot. So I've been stirring the pot and getting good people like you involved as an advisor to what we're trying to accomplish. And we really have a lot of, I think, important work going on and important relationships developing
yeah.
on a global basis.
Well, I think the the issue hasn't changed, right? Even though entrepreneurship is growing and people are going into business, they still need the skills. They still don't have the skills to be as, you know, to improve their chances of success. You can't guarantee that they're successful, right? Neither can I, but you and I both know they skip steps. They don't write a business plan. They don't do strategic planning. They don't, you know, look at things and figure out their marketplace and all that kind of stuff. They just kind of dive in.
Right. So we're going to be developing a whole portfolio of online courses.
Okay.
And one of the first courses we're developing, the working title is 8 Key Factors That Determine Entrepreneurial Success. And some of the things that you just mentioned are in that list. Starting out with, does a person have the right personal characteristics to succeed?
Yeah.
You know, you can talk about doing this, but you know, if you can't handle stress and if you can't handle risk,
right,
and if you can't handle pressure and if you can't think creatively, because you're not going to have all the resources you need, you're going to have to think your way out of problem areas.
Right.
And if you don't have the kind of support at home from your spouse or significant other, you know, you got no shot to succeed.
Yeah, it makes
sense.
And then
the things you talked about, a viable new business idea, a viable business model. You could have a good business idea, but the wrong way of executing it.
Right.
Do you have the capability of recruiting and driving a high-performing team of people?
Yeah.
Do you have the ability to fund your venture to the point of break even and beyond?
Do you even know how much it's going to take to fund it? A lot of people don't really figure that out properly, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's the first course, and that'll be done at the end of December of this year. The second course is vital networking skills for business owners and leaders, because I think networking is absolutely a critical skill for almost anybody, not just people in business.
Right.
Anybody. And it's never taught. People don't do it. They're not very good at it. And particularly for entrepreneurs and business leaders of all types, I really think you need to develop great skills in networking and using your network and adding value in relationships that you have. So that'll be the second course.
It really is, Jack. I mean, everybody talks about sales skills, but it really is the foundation of building business, networking. Because if you don't have anybody to talk to, it doesn't matter what kind of sales skills you have. So you got to get in front of people and use the people. And I think people also take it for granted that they think they don't know anybody. They don't have networks, but they know a lot of people. They just have to be proactive about connecting through these people.
Everybody has a big network. I make the point when I teach this stuff that we were born into our first network, which is our family. So from day one, we're part of a small network.
Right.
And it just grows, you know, as we go through grammar school, we belong to the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or Little League or have sleepovers or birthday parties. And in our classrooms. And then we go into high school and we play on teams and compete with other schools, then go to college. So we're building our networks all the time.
Right.
Some people do a better job than others of maintaining them and staying in touch.
Right.
But, you know, it's a never ending process. And when people tell me, you know, the reason they don't do it is because they don't have time, you know, that's really a crazy response to me, because I can't think of a better way to spend your time than investing in the relationships you have and really cultivating the most important of those. And I can go on and give example after example of how networking has just saved me hours or weeks of time.
Of course, because you have people as a resource. I mean, look, now it's very easy to connect. If you want to connect with your people, you have 4 or 5 different ways to do that. In the past, it was either you see them or you pick up the phone. Now you have ways to interact with them all over the place.
Right.
It's really no excuse.
Right. So, and then we'll be developing a course on how to raise funding for startup and early stage companies.
Yeah.
How to use strategic alliances to accelerate business growth.
Right.
How to develop and launch new products and services. So we probably have 10 or 12 courses in the pipeline that we're working with. And then when, you know, we're going to continue with our quarterly Global Entrepreneur Forum program, where once a quarter we bring in interesting speakers and we invite people from around the world, entrepreneurs from around the world, to come onto our Zoom platform and take 90 minutes on a Friday afternoon around lunchtime and really hear, you know, important guidance from leading people.
Yeah.
So we've got that going on. And then, you know, we're going to be doing strategic consulting with major companies that want to bring more of an entrepreneurial capability into their organization. So, for example, right now, we're about to launch developing probably a 10-course program for a $500 million public company that wants to make their managers much more entrepreneurial. So we've signed a contract and we're about to start finalizing the content for the first two or three courses for them. The first one of which is developing the entrepreneurial mindset in a corporate environment. So how do you take these people who have been living in a fairly structured corporate environment and get them to think more in an entrepreneurial way,
right,
that is still consistent with the policies and procedures of the organizations that they work for? And then the second one is going to be how to develop, implement, and manage a high-performing entrepreneurial culture within the corporate environment. So we hope to have those two courses available by the end of February for this client. And then we're getting approached from entrepreneurs globally. Like, I got approached this week by a woman in England who has a medical testing company that tests the breast milk of mothers to make certain that the milk that they're feeding their young babies is really enough for their nutrition. And then we got approached from an entrepreneur in Israel who's been developing over the last 10 years a remote medical monitoring capability.
Yeah.
And she needs to raise some capital to expand the growth of that business worldwide. So we're getting an opportunity to look at a lot of different opportunities and develop a lot of programs that will really empower entrepreneurs around the world.
Sure. Jack, if we go back to the work that you're doing with the corporation in corporate America, yeah, like, can we expand on that? I think a lot of people listening don't know what it means or what the, you know, what your purview is on a entrepreneurial mindset in a corporate environment. Like, what does that really translate to? What does it mean? What are they looking to develop in their people?
They're looking to develop people who are comfortable. I'll give you a list of kinds of things we're talking about.
Good.
They're comfortable working with scarce resources, because everybody's working with tight budgets these days because of the pandemic.
Right.
So you don't have all the people and all the money you need. So how do you deal with that? How do you be creative in developing improved customer service? You know, all these corporations, we're all in highly competitive business sectors.
Right.
And how we deal with customers can be a game changer.
Of course.
So they want to make certain that their managers are leading their organizations in a way that's really super supportive and providing great customer service. They want their managers thinking about new ways to develop business, new ways to attract new clients. And, you know, these are typically things that a lot of these people have never been expected to do.
Right. So it's more of a kind of a taking on ownership of the company, like, you know, treating it as if you care about the bottom line and its profitability as if it's your own, right?
Right, right. And, you know, being more comfortable taking prudent risks,
right,
and assessing risks.
Yeah, because if you feel like it's not your company, it's like, look, it's not my problem. You know,
right.
Right.
And making certain that you really have an engaged workforce. You know, there's data out there that suggests the majority of people's time is not spent being fully engaged with the company's issues and opportunities.
Sure. Yeah, right. I mean, well, because you're at work, you talk to people, you go for a walk, you don't really take ownership. I think people are working harder because they're at home. It seems like they're learning to be more efficient with their time.
I'd say people are really feel a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And when they look next door at their neighbor doesn't have a job, I think they appreciate what they have and they want to make this work.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they recognize that it's even better for their family life and their work-life balance.
Right. Yeah, and then they're thankful that they didn't get terminated or cut back or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it's difficult. Okay. So I'm sorry, I just wanted to clear that up because I wasn't sure. Another
component we'll be getting into is finding entrepreneurial ways to recruit and develop new staff members. You know, you can't just rely on the HR department anymore.
Right.
I think managers need to play a much bigger role in attracting the kind of people that they want on their team.
Right. Where they have their own vision and they get the people to buy into their own vision.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, it involves less supervision and you get less, I guess it's not forced upon you then, right? If you're part of the process. Right. So a lot of HR departments, that's what they do. They'll hire people and then say, oh, here's John. Here's Jack. He's coming to work for us today. They do that sometimes?
I don't mean to be super critical of the HR departments and companies, but you know, that's not where the real entrepreneurial person is employed
in general,
in a typical
company. Right.
And that's one of the places where I think real entrepreneurial thinking could be really important. You know, thinking of different ways to compensate people, different ways to reward people, different incentive programs. In communication with a woman, you know, who is an expert on mental health.
Yep.
And I'm trying to work with her. I'm trying to encourage her to really get involved with companies and also with unions, because I don't think companies and unions have their hands around what is the mental health of their workforce.
Right.
And I think that can have an enormous cost impact on businesses.
Very much so.
And I think that's a whole component of an organization's culture that is totally being missed.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000, to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Well, because the employees are afraid to talk about it and they're not supported, and then the company doesn't know about it, and then leads to bad problems and bad things with the people. And forget about lack of productivity. I mean, you could really get people that get depressed and have a lot of problems. But I think you're right. And you're talking about Michelle Dickinson, and she's doing some great stuff out there. I think that a lot of it, like she had said to me, is awareness. Like, you know, having the corporation become aware and also letting the employees know that, hey, it's okay. We have these resources in place. We're putting these support services in place so we can improve your performance. So you are happier at work. So you do have more job satisfaction. So it is a better work-life balance. And I think, like you said, there's a big shift going on in our entire society that probably would have taken, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, and it happened in months.
Right.
And I think ultimately it's helped a lot of people. It's hurt a lot of people too because of job loss, but that's the job loss. It has nothing to do with working at home. So people are realizing that they can take their kids to the dentist and then come back and do their work and have a meeting after dinner. And, you know, but it is intrusive on your life. We used to leave work, especially when you were a younger fella, right? You would leave work and you'd get on the train or whatever, and you decompress on your way home. You get home and then you start again next day. Now it doesn't happen that way. You might, if you're in the car, you're probably talking to somebody for business. Then you get home, sitting in front of the house, finishing up the call. Then you go inside, you have dinner with your family. Then there might be something else that night, and it starts all over again. So to a certain extent, it's good. To a certain extent, it's bad. That's why the mental health thing is very important, you know?
Yeah, I think focus on mental health is going to be an increasingly important area of interest for top management going forward.
Right. Well, especially if you're working remotely a lot of the time, so you're not in touch with the people physically all the time, there's going to be more of that disconnect, and they have to be proactive about it, right? And that's why that kind of a course or that kind of a module, I think, is important for, well, for everybody, for corporate America, but certainly recognizing that it's an issue. Yeah.
But what I'm finding through Street Smart Entrepreneurs is there's global interest in what we're doing.
Yeah.
For example, I'm developing a really good relationship with a talented young guy in Switzerland who's part of the Swiss MBA Association.
Okay.
They have something like 2,000 members. And that association is putting together relationships with major MBA schools around the world, developing joint training programs, events. And he's very interested in working with Street Smart Entrepreneurs as part of that growing association of MBA schools globally.
Yeah. Well, that's not only great for them, but it's great for us to learn from them and share ideas back and forth, because everyone does it a little different. Now, you have a partner in Street Smart, right?
No, I don't have a partner. I have six advisors.
Okay.
I have one advisor who's playing a more leading role as content development director, as Timur Pekai. I've got a couple of interns, one from Columbia University School of Engineering, and another one from a local county college. And one from the county college is exceptional. He's going to do really great.
How did you meet Timur, and what role is he playing?
He used to be head of the Rothman Institute at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey.
Got it. Yeah.
And I've had a 20-year relationship with Fairleigh Dickinson and with the Rothman Institute. So Timur was there for 4 or 5 years. And when he left to join Columbia as his day job, we just stayed in touch. We've always had a good relationship. He's very interested in what we're doing, and he's very helpful. And he brings his contacts to the program as well.
Sure. Is he a business professor at Columbia?
No, he's a director of continuing education in their engineering school.
So like adult education, people that have graduated and.
Yep. So he's right in this stream of changes in the education format.
Right. Right. Well, that's good. Now, what about the other advisors? I know I'm one of them, but who are the other ones?
Rich Shapiro.
Okay. Right. That's the Center for Client Retention, right?
Yep, and an author of a couple of books on customer service.
Yep.
And I think he's about as knowledgeable as anybody in the country about customer service. Rob Levin, who's a serial entrepreneur. Rob is currently launching a new investment fund called the OASIS Fund.
Okay.
Previously, he ran a publishing and an events company in New York City called the New York Enterprise Report that he ran for about 10 years prior to selling it. He's an accountant by background. He was with, I think, Ernst & Young early in his career. So he's a quality guy. And then our son, Jonathan Killian. Jonathan is spent the last 13 years doing restructuring and fixing up broken mid-sized companies nationwide. And I think he's really a standout in that space. So he helps them reboot their financial structure. Sometimes he actually goes in as the interim CEO of a company. He's working nationwide. And prior to that, he got his CPA while he worked 3 years at Deloitte. So he's got a very strong accounting and financial background. And then we have a gal who comes out of Gerstein Fisher, a wealth management firm, and she has spent her entire career as a marketing leader in the professional services space. So I've got a really good team around me. Plus, I got a bunch of other exceptional people I can reach out to.
Sure.
For example, this program I was describing about developing minority entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
In major cities.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine last week who's with Coke Industries.
Uh-huh.
And he's about
the Coke brothers. We're not talking Coca-Cola.
Coke,
K-O-C-H, right.
K-O-C-H.
Yeah.
He's about to join their 20 or 25 person venture group in Kansas.
Uh-huh.
He's been with the overall organization about 10 years.
Okay.
When I told him about Street Smart and about this tentative program to help minority entrepreneurs, he really got excited and thought Coke might be interested in being involved as a sponsor because they totally believe in entrepreneurship.
Right.
That's part of the basic fabric of their organization.
Right.
As the largest private corporation in America. So, you know, I've got a bunch of really quality people, both in the U.S. and worldwide, that I can reach out to for help.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Even though we don't have a big paid staff, I think I have a big team of quality people, including you, that could be brought to bear on this stuff.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, right now you can go and attend the meetings right for free. You can go, you can sign up. Is there a website or a social media?
Yeah, the website is www.streetsmart with a hyphen between street and smart.
Okay.
www.streetsmartentrepreneurs.com.
So it's street-smartentrepreneurs.com.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and people can sign up for your mailing list and learn
and
about what's going on.
Yeah, it'd be really great to do
Come
that.
To me. There's no courses you can sign up for yet, right?
No, but we have a couple things on the YouTube channel.
Okay, some videos. Okay.
Videos, yep. And our next quarterly Global Entrepreneurs Forum is going to be on February 19th. And that information is going to be available on the website, along with all these other courses that we're developing. So the website is pretty robust with a lot of content.
Right. And the content's going to be recorded content. There's going to be live classes you can attend to.
When COVID is over, we're going to be running a lot of live.
Even in person. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This program that we want to do for minority entrepreneurs, currently we would do it on Zoom.
Right.
Because I think it has to be real time.
Right. But it'll still be live. It'll just won't be in person.
Yep.
Right.
But eventually I want to get to do it in person because I think the personal connections will make a difference.
Yeah. Well, once we get everybody vaccinated and we're all comfortable again. And I mean, look, we're still going to have to wear masks in the hallways and this and that. But once you sit at your desk, you can take a breather and, you know, just be safe about it.
I think we're
going
to wind up going through most of next year dealing with COVID.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think first, it's still going to be 4 to 6 months before everyone gets vaccinated. You're still going to not know if someone else is or isn't. So it's privacy issues and you're going to want to be careful.
Right.
But at some point, we got to go back out. Well, you know, Earth is Earth and we keep moving along and life has to continue. And, you know, we'll learn to adjust. Even in the 6 or 8 months, we've learned to even treat it better, you know, but even though the hospitals are still overwhelmed. But look, I think you're right. I think we'll start doing in-person things. We'll have to wear masks. We'll have to be careful. You wash your hands. You know, the people that are more vulnerable probably have to avoid those types of situations.
Yep.
But, you know, it is what it is. But we don't want business to stop. We don't want commerce to come to a halt. People are, you know, gone. The restaurant business has been decimated, you know, and they're going to have to figure out how to, you know, it's funny. Not even funny, but I've seen a lot of business owners really learn how to embrace even technology that they didn't want to embrace. And now, right, you know, you get things delivered in suburban areas that were limited to only urban areas originally.
Right.
Everything is, and there's a business for it, right? So DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats and all these companies are doing huge, I don't know what the profitability is, but huge amounts of business. And right, it's just a different world. I think retail is going to change.
That's all part of this entrepreneurial mindset.
Right.
The ability to spot opportunities.
Sure.
And most people haven't taught themselves that skill.
No.
And I think opportunities exist everywhere.
Of course.
And you could see a billboard that could trigger an idea, or overhear a conversation someplace that can trigger an idea, or read a magazine article that can trigger an idea, or see a comment on television.
Right.
You got to be sensitive to spotting opportunities. That's part of what this entrepreneurial mindset is all about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, some of it you can learn, and some of it takes practice, and some of it, like you said before, there's some people that you know, and they're just relentless. I mean, they get in there, they say they're not using a business plan, but they're doing planning and thinking all the time. And they don't take no for an answer. And they say, this is not an obstacle, it's an opportunity. And there are people that are, it's just part of their nature to just be relentless about keep moving forward, keep seeing opportunities. They see the world, well, kind of like you and I do. We look at things and say, well, what's the opportunity here? You know, what can we make out of this? Even though there's a lot of sadness and loss and things like that, we still got to move on. But some people, like the mental health issue in the workplace, some people they fall apart in these situations. But they got to learn to be resilient. I think the word for 2020 is resilient. That's what's going to go into 2021. How are you going to be resilient, right?
I recently met a woman down in Florida. She's got a company called The Entrepreneurial Mindset. So we're developing
a good
distance relationship. She's got a radio show on that theme in Miami. And she really is a strong advocate of teaching people to be resilient.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the fundamental skills that people are going to need to have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And the resilient people were always doing well, but now it's even more important. I think it's got to be part of a business plan. How do you deal with the ups and downs and unexpected things? What are your plans going to do? What are you going to be? How are you going to react? How are you going to deal with it? And some of it you don't know, but if you have that mindset, like you say, you got to deal with what comes at you.
Right.
So how did you connect with her? How did you connect with her in Miami? Remember?
I'm giving a talk on the 20th in New York. Do you know BizHack?
BizHack. I think so. I think you told me about it.
I'll send you a link. The guy runs a program where he brings in guest speakers.
Uh-huh.
So somehow he got a hold of me, and he's bringing me in to talk to his audience about using networking to drive business sales. So specifically tying networking to business sales.
Right, because that's what it's all about, yeah.
And a lot of people are reacting to his post about the course, about the program. So she was one of them.
Ah.
And she had nice things to say about it. So I reached out to her on LinkedIn. I said, I appreciate your planning to attend the event. I think it's going to be something special. So now we've had three or four conversations. And I think she's a winner. And I just connected her with Michelle, because I think they may be able to do things together.
Yeah. Well, I think people, Jack, I think that's a good lesson for people, right? You see people post things, you see a blog article, whatever. If you like what they have to say, reach out to them. Find their profile on LinkedIn, right, Facebook, whatever it is, and find a website where they are. Do a Google search and get in touch with them. People want to converse, right? I'm sure she wasn't like, she was very happy to hear from you, right?
Right. No, we probably have had a dozen emails back and forth in the last three or four days.
Yeah, and you built a relationship. Is that her?
No.
And you've built a relationship without even seeing her in person, just because you go out. And I think people don't think that way. You know, I've gotten to know people through, well, I guess LinkedIn mostly, just because they reached out to me. Hey, I listened to Jack on your podcast and I was fascinated with what he had to say. Could I meet him? And I connect people all the time through that, and you build relationships. Right. Sometimes I don't even can't even figure out how we met. I'm not even sure how you and I met. So
I tend to accept like 95% of the people who send me a request to connect, but I always attach a short message to it. You know, thanks a lot. I'm always open to connecting with quality people, but I'm curious, where do you see potential synergies and how might I add value to what you're trying to do?
Right.
And maybe 50% of those people get back to me with some sort of a response.
Yeah.
And then we begin to talk.
Right. Yeah. I recommend to people, if they're going to link into somebody they don't know because of something they wrote, they should put a short note, tell them why they wanted to link in, what they read, what they were impressed with, why, you know, because it gives you a reason to connect to that person. Right. Yeah.
As opposed to just thinking that LinkedIn steered them that way.
Right. No, I get requests all the time. People I don't even know. They're in Dubai. I don't know who these people are. Unless I look on their profile and I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
You know, you don't connect with everybody. But
there's all kinds of good ways to add value.
Right. Absolutely. So what should we watch for from the future? Your book's getting close to coming out, your second book. Street Smart should launch sometime in the first quarter, right? We'll start to see courses there.
We'll start to see courses within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. Soon.
Let's say by the first week of January.
Okay.
You'll see our Global Entrepreneurs Forum on March 19th.
Oh, that's on the website?
Not yet, but it will be.
Okay.
And we have a really top level speaker. Coming, who's an expert on corporate branding.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to be having a discussion about corporate branding. And she's written a book on the subject that has been very well received. So I think that'll be great. And I've got other people lined up for future global forum meetings.
Sure. But you're talking about branding, like me as an individual, like as an entrepreneur, learning how to brand yourself?
Yeah, or how should Street Smart Entrepreneurs brand itself?
Right, right.
What's the process?
Yeah, I just interviewed somebody on my podcast, Lisa Lieberman Wang. She's a big personal branding expert. She wrote a book.
Yep.
She's written a book, and she coaches people on personal branding and how to, you know, build your business doing that stuff. Right. I met her through the chamber. We had her as a speaker.
That's all part of what I teach people in networking.
Yeah.
Because part of networking, part of my philosophy is get people coming to you.
Right.
Instead of you chasing them.
Right.
And in order to get people coming to you, you got to have a branding program going on that attracts people.
Right.
And that could be things you post on LinkedIn, could be your website, could be speeches you give, could be groups that you're a member of.
Right.
So your personal brand is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. The message that you put out there. Yeah, absolutely.
I view personal branding as chumming.
It's a good analogy. Yeah.
Just putting the bait out there.
Right.
And in what it attracts.
Right.
And it really works.
Right. Well, it's trying to get people to keep you top of mind and think of you in a certain way. Right.
Right.
I think a lot of people miss that. They say, oh, I'm a consultant, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. And they want to be everything to everybody. But if they don't brand themselves a certain way, they're not going to really get value because they're just everything to everybody. And then nobody thinks of you, right?
Right.
It's a dangerous way to try to build a business.
Right. I mean, your clients are part of your brand.
Right.
Your reputation as a service provider is part of your brand.
Yeah.
Your lifestyle is part of your brand.
Sure. It can
be. A lot of things come into it. You get evaluated and judged in a lot of ways.
Especially nowadays, because people tend to put everything, their whole life online.
Maybe one of the last comments I'd make, I was thinking the other day about companies that missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Because they don't see opportunities. And I was thinking Sears Roebuck.
Yeah.
Really missed the opportunity because they had the catalog business 100 years ago.
Right. And they got away from it.
Roebuck could have been the Amazon.
Right.
Of today.
Now they're gone, right?
They're gone. They didn't they missed it. They didn't have this entrepreneurial mindset.
Right.
Spot opportunities.
Right. Well, look at Toys R Us, right?
Oh, totally.
Gone, because people are buying online. You can't compete. Every time you do a search for anything, Amazon's the first thing that comes up. So everybody buys from Amazon.
Right.
It's hard to compete with guys like that. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of examples of people that just missed the – look at Blockbuster. There was a time where they were going to go into online streaming like Netflix. And I think the CEO at the time was like, people are going to come and rent videos. That's stupid. Right. Nobody's going to do that.
Right.
And they went out of business.
So I think you need to go to bed every night thinking about what if, what new opportunities might there exist.
Right.
Like for street smart entrepreneurs down the road, I'm thinking we should have a television show. Maybe we should have a series.
Want me to host the podcast, Street Smart Entrepreneurs podcast?
Maybe we should have an incubator.
Yeah.
Maybe we should tie up with some minority universities and create incubators on these minority universities for minority entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe we'll wind up with an investment fund to invest in the companies that we're helping to develop the managers of.
Right. So,
you have to think openly because the world is changing so fast and doors are closing, others are opening, and you got to be prepared to, properly evaluate new options and move quickly to take advantage of them.
Right, right. Well, I think it's a lot about nurturing good ideas and good people and helping them work through their ideas. If they're not good, let's get them through it so they don't have a lot of damage. And if it is good, let's help them along the way and nurture them and help them raise capital and meet the right people. So I think that's all real good. So I appreciate you coming on my 100th episode, coming back, giving us an everyday update. We'll put the link to Street Smart Entrepreneurs back on. Knock on wood, you'll be on the 200th.
That's exactly what I'm
thinking. I'm working on it. So maybe I do about. Yeah, it would be next year. Some this would be like a year from now. I do about two a week, so that we'll hit 200.
You got to ramp up the speed. So.
Right. Okay. We'll do four a week, so it'd be quicker. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it's all great. We'll put the link to Street Smart in the show notes. People can interact with you. I guess the Book Network All the Time is still available on Amazon, right?
Yep.
And they should go to the website and sign up, and they'll be on your mailing list and stay in touch with all of us.
I'd
right?
love to have them.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Mitch. Be in touch, huh?
Okay.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.